Jesus loves me. Richie. Come on. Yeah. Hold it up. She can do it. Sing the whole song.
Jesus loves me, the sign of the Bible tells me so. Little one can be wrong. They always put Jesus down. Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
They have to drop down right there. Nothing stays on her like me. Put it in. Next, we're going to have Charles Kimbrough. And what is Charles Kimbrough? You ready? Whatever he's going to do, you know as much as I do. Yeah.
Well, it is a good evening. And Gabriel, I was just like you when I was about your age, because I used to get up and sing Cowboy Jack at all the, what they call them, amateur hours. And I was bashful. But you hang in there. You're going to make it, friend. You've got a good voice. I'd like to tell you about some of my travels in this respect. I've met a lot of people in America. I know people from the West Coast to the East Coast, from the North to the South. But I want to tell you about two of them. They're true stories, both of them. And I can remember them as well as I remember as well as it was yesterday. In 1936, I was 11 years old that summer. And my dad and I went out to build a house for Levi Reed in Phoenix, Arizona. Levi Reed had 640 acres of the best land in the Valley of the Sun there in Phoenix, all irrigated land. He was on the board of directors of the Valley National Bank, which is now part of Chase, at one time when Bank One bought it out. So Levi Reed was a very wealthy man. And I knew Levi Reed because when I was younger, I went with my brother and used to milk his cows. Well, we went out there this morning, Monday morning, first day out of my school, and my job was to unload the tools. So I'd get the toolbox and I got them all out and laying on the ground and getting ready to take them to where my dad was. And I heard this yell. As loud as he could yell, he wanted my name, Jim! And when he yelled, I knew, come, I dropped what I did and went back there. And I went back to the house where he was, and he was standing there looking at the back wall of that house. Now, there was some other people who had built the bricks. We were to do all the woodwork. And we went out there, and he said, look at that wall. That's as crooked as a dog's hind leg. Now, if you know how crooked a dog's hind leg, and I, to this day, when I looked up there, I can't tell you whether it was crooked or not. Because I was scared. When he said, James, come, I ran. And I get out there, and he said, that wall's got to come out. So he said, put the tools back in that old pickup. We had a T-Model Ford pickup. And I put the tools back in, and we drove up to Levi's old farmhouse, about a half a mile away on the same plot of ground. And we got out of the car, and I was sitting in the car, and my dad was up the driveway and knocked on the door, and Levi come out. And he said, Levi, you got to come down and take a look at this house right there. That wall, back wall, has got to come out. So Levi got in his car, and we drove back up there, and I started taking the tools out of the pickup again and putting them on the ground, getting ready to take them back where we were going to work. And I turned around, and I walked back there, and Levi and him were sitting back there observing that wall. And my dad said, that wall's got to come out. And Levi said, "Oh, George, you can cover it up. When you get through with it, nobody will know that that wall's crooked." And my dad said to him, "No, that wall's got to come out, Levi." He said, "George, don't be so stubborn. You can cover that thing up." My dad said, "Levi, are you going to put a swimming pool in the backyard?" And he said, "Yes." "Are you going to have your people from the Valley National Bank up here and swimming in your swimming pool?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Let me tell you something, Levi. I'm not going to have anybody say that George Kimball had anything to do with that crooked wall. James, take up the tools. Let's go home." We could have made in that one house almost $1,000 in 1936, because it was a big house. My mother cried. But I want to tell you something. I learned something from my dad. You don't build crooked walls. I'm in the baking business, and I don't build crooked bonds. My reputation in this country is just like my dad's. I can go back, I'm 81 years old. I can go back to work tomorrow. I'm not going to, unless I get to where I own something to eat. Then I might come to your houses and say, "If you've got something to eat," rather than go to work. One other individual in my life that I met that I want to tell you about. We left Aurora, Illinois in summer of 1963 and moved to Sacramento, California. And I was with the Columbia Baking Company, or Rainbow Bakery, or Manor Bread, or wherever you're at in the United States, Kilpatrick on the West Coast. And I'm going out there as vice president to the general manager of that plant. Now, I've been in sales too. So I get out there, and I'm vice president of that plant, and I'm taking over sales. And we had a lot of Chinese in that market. Over 50% of the Chinese grocery stores in the area were Chinese. And Chinese are very, very hard workers and loyal people. You know, it would surprise me. I've always said, you know, when the Chinese went to be communists, they're the best salesmen in the world. They're the best people to make a buck in the world. They'll never go communist. Well, they got a government over there that's communist, but those people are the best people to do, to build anything. Look at all the stuff we get from them now. So, we're out with these Chinese grocers. We have a Chinese grocery association. And the man that was president of the company out there told me, said, Georgie Kwam was with us that day. And he said, "Georgie, tell Charles about what you did with the Chinese here when you got that 7.5% discount." And he said, "Okay." He said, "Charles, I'll tell you what we do. I'm going to try to mimic a little Chinese. So if you've got any Chinese blood in here, forgive me." And he said, "Charlie, you know what I did? I said, we had a big meeting one Sunday morning. And we had all the Chinese grocermen together, the Northern California Chinese grocers together. And we had them all in this big room. And I asked Georgie Kwam over there, I said, Georgie, how would you like to have a 7.5% discount?" Now, I got to back up a little bit and tell you why this all came to pass. There was one little store, one little corner store, that Continental Baking Company had given this one little corner store a 7.5% discount for some reason. All the other great grocery stores were getting 5%. Well, the difference between 5 and 7, that's 2.5% on every $2.50 on every $100 worth of stores of sales, and some of those stores would sell $10,000 worth of bread in a week. So you can figure there's a lot of money involved. So he said, we had this big meeting, and I asked Georgie Kwam, he had 6 big stores, and I said, Georgie, how would you like to have a 7.5% discount? And they all knew that this one little store was getting a 7.5, and they were only getting 5. So Georgie said, how would you like to have a 7.5% discount, Georgie? And he said, I'd like that. He said, I'll tell you what we ought to do. We ought to do this. We ought to take a hat, and we ought to put four names in the hat. Cromwell Bacon Company on one, Blue Seal on one, a Rainbow Bread on one, and Sunbeam on the other, and put them in the hat and draw them out. And they said, oh, that's the thing to do. So Benny Hahn says to me, Charlie, you know what I did? I kicked the first piece of paper, and I write, Continental Bacon Company on it, and I put them in the hat. The second one, I write, Continental Bacon Company on it, and I put it in the hat. The third one, I write, Continental Bacon Company, and I put it in the hat. The fourth one, I put Continental Bacon Company on it, and put it in the hat. Charles, you know, when Georgie Quam drove that hat, you know what name he drove out of that hat? He drove Continental Bacon Company out of that hat. Everybody was surprised. You know, when you're dealing with people, you got to be honest. Georgie Quam was an honest person, just like Benny Hahn was. And they knew how to go from 5% gets down to 7.5%. They knew how to do it, and they did it the legal way.
Okay.
Thank you.
Fred Chaplin here besides having fun. And next we're going to have Ron Adder. Ron, come up. Yes, I have a jacket.
Okay, I'm gonna play "Were You There?" And Paul sang this song, so I'm gonna try to play it on this song once. I don't know. I'm gonna try. So here we go.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to have Grace and Sarah doing the funniest plays ever. Begin.
Why is the conductor hitting the lady?
He isn't hitting her.
Why is the lady screaming?
What's the name of your ranch?
Red.
S-Y-F, lazy R, double freak, square, Q, Y, Z.
How many of those cows do you have?
Only a few, not many survived the branding.
Huh?
Job.
All right, if you can sell this box of cheer, I'll give you a job.
Okay.
Come in.
I want my team to demonstrate this cheer.
All right, come on in.
What do you need? I'll need 3 different types of clothing.
All right, well, here's some pots. You can get it ready.
All right, here's a shirt. Washy, 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 in the cold blue cheer. Rinsy, 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 in the fresh water.
Fresh. It's in the mic as well.
Fresh.
Here's some dance.
Washy, 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 in the cold blue cheer. Rinsy, rinsy, rinsy in the fresh water. Fresh.
Okay, this is underwear.
Washy, washy, washy in the home blue cheer. Rinsy, rinsy, rinsy in the fresh water. Washy, washy, washy in the home blue cheer.
Yeah. that book. Thank you.
Next, we're going to have Joel McCormick. He's going to read from Ecclesiastes. Big hand for Joel.
Hello, everybody. Well, it's my understanding that it's a Jewish tradition to read from the book of Ecclesiastes during the Feast of Tabernacles, so I thought I would just maybe carry that out some and read Ecclesiastes 3. Mark told us something about the Torah, so maybe this could become something of a tradition for us too. So, Ecclesiastes 3. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what's planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to gain, or a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, a time of peace. Read a little bit more. What profit has the worker from that which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time.
Next, we're going to have, see if I pronounce your name wrong, Lakeisha, did I say it right?
Lakeisha.
She's going to, it's her lawnmo. Where is she? Lakeisha. Lakeisha, she's on this. I can hold. I'll wait.
Everything that could go wrong, always wrong at one time.
so much pressure on me. I thought I was gonna lose my mind. But I'm just who you wanna see. I will hold on through these times. And I need you to listen low, cause I can't take it no more.
Next, we're going to have Tiffany. Tiffany.